Hey, this is Larry Goins. How you doing? Hello, hello, hello. Can anyone hear me? Hello. Hello, it's Larry. How's everybody doing? Hello, hello, hello. Can you hear me? Hello, hello. Hello, hello, hello. Anybody on the call?
Hello.
Hello. Anybody on the call?
Yes, I'm on the call. I'm from Michigan, Kevin.
Oh, how you doing, Kevin?
Oh, I'm fine.
Good, good, good. Just getting started. I just got on here. Got a couple other people. They got their line muted. But, yeah, I want to jump in and see if anybody's got any questions.
Maybe I can ask you a question about the assignment of contract.
Sure.
I'm doing. I did one here about a week ago, and I didn't know if it was comfortable doing it the way I did it. But I came to the house. I wrote up a contract to buy the house, and then I had an assignment contract to assign it. But I don't. I brought the buyers in and the sellers in together so we can sign all the paperwork. And it went okay. We closed it. We did close it a couple of days later.
Uh-huh.
But sometimes they want to know what you're making on the deal.
Exactly.
And I had it for a couple thousand over. But, I told them the way I had to do it because I'm not a real estate agent, so I had to do the assignment. I couldn't just do it as a finder's fee because I can't write up a contract for somebody else.
Right.
So I think I did this right, but is there a better approach or what would be the way you would do it?
To do an assignment, so you get the property under contract, and in the name of the buyer, you put and or assigns, correct?
Right. Yeah. Now, do I put the and or assigns buyer's name on that contract?
Yeah. What is the name of your company that you put the name that you're buying?
Well, I actually did it under my name, and then I put for benefit of the trust. That's mm-hmm. how I did it. I don't know if that's the right
way.
Well,
that has nothing to do with assigning a contract, but that's what you're going to put in a trust.
I didn't put the
buyer's
name on the contract. I had the buyer's name on the assignment.
Were you doing this in your retirement account?
No.
Okay. Well, a lot of times that's what you do for your retirement account. But anyway, you can put, like, your company name, XYZ Investments, LLC, and or assigns, and then you just have an assignment agreement that says you were assigning it for, say, $2,000.
Right.
And that's your assignment fee, so that way everybody knows what's going on.
Okay, so the buyers and sellers know that I'm going to be getting an assignment fee.
Right.
They see that. Both parties see that.
Oh, yeah. Well, you let them know up front. You don't want to hide anything.
Yeah. Well,
and you made $2,000 on the deal?
Yeah.
Well, nobody should fuss about that.
Yeah, well, it was okay. I mean, it wasn't a big money maker.
It wasn't
but
a big deal,
was
but
a,
hey, $2,000 is $2,000.
Oh, yeah, I was glad. I didn't even really have to go to the closing because I already talked to them. I showed up at the end there, and they were a little confused, I guess. The closing agent was a little confused because they haven't done too many of these. She was kind of new there. And this the $1,000 check, it was a deposit, earnest money deposit. That check, I had the buyer give it to the seller, and then the seller held that check. The seller had an attorney, looked over the paperwork, and he was okay with it.
Uh-huh.
But they held the check to closing, and then they they didn't cash that check. They basically just tore the check up, and then they put it as a credit on the HUD statement. So it went through okay. I just thought maybe it was a different. I did it the right way. I haven't done one of these in a long time, and I didn't want to do a double closing and have to pay closing costs to buy it and to sell it. So this was, clear net profit there, so I didn't have to pay anything out of pocket.
Right.
So that was good. So that's kind of what I want to do. I had another one I did. I had a buyer for another property, and this is a friend of mine. I've known him for years. And he, the first buyer, he didn't want to go through it. My seller was, seller, his name's Don. Okay, he had bought this at a sheriff's sale, and I was going to buy it, but he bought it. And then I told him, I said, I probably could find a buyer for your property.
Right.
And we had it sold, but then he didn't want, because they don't prorate the taxes at sheriff's sales, and there was some extra costs. He didn't make much on the deal, so
right.
He backed out of it. I wrote up the offer on that one, which I shouldn't have, but I wrote up the offer for him to sign. And I talked to a realtor, and he said, you can't write up the offer. It's only the seller, the buyer, or an agent can write up that offer. And I was not the right thing to do, but I did it anyway to get a deposit from my buyer. I did that so they would have something in their hand. But I didn't sign it. I said it was subject to my partner's approval.
Right.
So he was okay, but my partner, of course, backed out of it. Then we found another buyer, and this was a better deal because he got more money for this deal. The only thing I didn't like, the fact that, I told him, I said, I wanted $1,000 out of the deal, and he's chewing me down and all this stuff. So he said, well, you didn't do much for this deal. I don't think you should get $1,000. He says, well, you're making $8,000 net profit on this thing. You don't think it's worth $1,000? And that's kind of where we ended it. So he still hasn't given me that $1,000, but he's already closed on it with my buyer.
He's already closed on it? So was the deal in his name or what?
It was in his name. It was between him and my buyer. I didn't have no assignment of contract or anything. It was just all verbal. That was my mistake.
You just put your buyer with him.
Yeah, that was my mistake, sending my buyer over to him. I should have did it like I did that other deal I just told you about. I should have wrote up the offer with him and then did the assignment. Instead, I did a verbal, and then now I'm out here in limbo. I don't have any money from the deal.
Yeah, listen.
I don't even know.
Listen, he could complain all he wants to, but you're the one that brought the buyer. Without the buyer, nobody gets paid.
And he made $8,000 on a deal that he bought from a sheriff's sale that he virtually made net profit. It was actually a $10,000 deal, but after all the closing costs and
you
stuff like that, he had
any kind of an agreement in writing with him or anything?
Well, I didn't have no agreement. I had a verbal. That was my mistake.
Next time, what you need
to
do is get him to sign an option, giving you an option to buy the property for X number of dollars, and then you will, that's one way of doing it.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
I should have done an option, or I could have wrote up a contract subject to me finding a buyer. Would that be okay too?
Yes, but I don't know about that, about a contract, but that's just an agreement.
Like a 15-day period, if I don't find a buyer, then I can back out of the contract?
That's the same thing as an option. But you need to do it as an option because the option involves the real estate.
So option, not a contract.
Yes.
Okay. All right. I'll remember that next time.
The other
that was my mistake.
Did you realize
shouldn't send
that
him over
he
there.
Probably wasn't going to pay you before you closed?
Well, that's the thing. He didn't tell me about it, and I found out from the buyer because I was talking to the buyer later about some other properties. He said, oh, yeah, we've already closed on that. I said, well, I didn't know that. He never told me that. He was kind of being secretive and sneaky about it. And that's why
really
I'm a little upset about it.
How did you find this guy? How do you know him?
I got him through advertising. I buy houses. I got signs and I use Craigslist. And he called me and he asked me
about... No, I'm talking
about
the seller.
The seller? Oh, the seller, I've known him for years. We've gone to sheriff sales together. And, he's not a bad guy, except for what he did here was not right. But you know.
Does he go to your local RIA group?
Is he what?
Does he go to your local RIA group?
Yeah. Once in a while he comes to RIA.
I would tell him, look, if you don't pay me our agreement like we talked about, I'm just going to have to tell everybody at the RIA group not to do business with you.
Yeah, that's probably not a bad thing. That's true.
That's what I would do.
Well, either that, or I'm just going to tell him, I'm going to distance myself from you. I'm not going to ever do any more deals, and you're not going
to
be a part.
And you need to
of
get
this.
Your money. If all you're charging him is $1,000, you brought the buyer. You should get half the money, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But
he was saying, he said, you used my house on Craigslist, a picture of my house. I said that was, he didn't think that was right. And I said, well, how else am I going to sell your house? I have to have a picture. And that's what I did. I used your picture, your house. And then I said, well, that's my buyer, and he's going to want to buy more houses. And I says, okay. At first he said, well, I won't touch your buyer. On any other deals, I won't touch your buyer. Then he calls me back and says, well, your buyer is my buyer now because you use my house. So he's going to call my buyer.
Oh, man, don't do any more business with this guy.
I know. I
don't
like
do
the way this thing went.
This
but, that's what happens. And my mistake, I should never have sent him over there. I thought we had a verbal agreement. I've known this guy for years. You think he would. You got
to
put stuff in writing.
You need to tell
him
you're
going to
let
people.
Everybody know what he did unless he takes care of you. And all you're talking about is $1,000 when you should have got half the money.
Oh, I agree. We at first talked about that. We talked about splitting it 50-50.
Well, have you contacted him since you found out from your buyer that they closed?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I talked to him. In fact, I talked to him this morning. He wants to get together and talk this thing out. But I don't know if it's going
to
do any good.
In my opinion, I would tell him, look, I'm not even asking for half. You cut me a check for $1,000 right now, or I'm going to tell everybody I know about this deal. And I've known you for years, and I don't want to do that. But
right.
You ripped me off. I am the one that brought you the buyer. Without me, you would not have sold this property to this buyer. And I brought you this buyer.
Exactly.
Was it an investor buyer?
Huh?
Was it an investor buyer?
Yeah, he's an investor. He buys houses.
The person who bought it.
He's an investor. Yeah, he's going to buy more houses. I'll probably use him again. As long as he don't ruin my reputation with him in some way. He contacts him and say, don't deal with me or something like that. I hope he doesn't do that. But he's an out-of-state investor. In fact, tomorrow his partner may come out and look at a couple of houses that I have to look at. But I don't want to. I mean, he wants to buy like 20 properties here by January. So I think he's a good prospect. He's got cash. But what he did with this property, he's actually flipped it after he sold it. He flipped it again for $3,000 over. So it sold twice.
Really?
Yeah, so there was equity in this property. It was a good little property. I could have bought it. I probably would have used it as a rental.
Yeah.
But
you need to get the money out of this guy just to let him know you're not going to just roll over and let him take advantage of you.
Oh, yeah. I told him that. I said, I could do you a lot of good things in the future because I have buyers out there and I could find you buyers for your houses. He's mostly into the rental part of it. He doesn't normally wholesale. But on this one, he did. He made $8,000. He net profit over $8,000.
You need to talk to this guy, and you need to get this worked out.
Yeah.
That's
what I'm going to tell him. I'd say, I'm worth $1,000 for this deal. You made $8,000 on this. That's what I'm going to tell him.
You need to also tell him, look, I've known you for years, and if you don't take care of me on this because I brought you your buyer, I'm going to tell everybody I know what you did.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to get into too much gossip at RIA because he could come back at me about something, too. But I might threaten him with that.
Well, that's entirely up to you. I'm just telling you, based on what you're telling me, and I don't know what kind of history you have with him, but based on what you're telling me, that's what I would do.
Yeah. Well, thanks for your advice, but I'm going to look at doing this as an option next time.
Yeah, I definitely would.
Yep. anyway, thanks for your advice.
You're welcome. All right, cool. Anybody else have a question? Anybody else have a question? I know we got some people on here, but a lot of times people just mute their line or sitting in the background. So, anybody have a question? We just closed on a pretty big deal just the other week. We just bought a luxury house that we actually bought for $395,000 and sold it for $450,000, and it closed already. And we actually did an assignment on it.
Now, Larry, which ways do you advertise to bring in people to do an assignment?
You mean to find buyers?
To find buyers, yeah.
Yeah, we just advertised it on Craigslist. And this was a luxury home that had about $700,000 in fire damage. And the ARV is about 1.7, but it needed about $750,000 in rehab.
Well, so you found the buyer through Craigslist, and then you
we
just
did,
signed the
and
contract
we actually
over.
Found we actually built a pretty decent buyers list. We actually built a pretty decent buyers list by running that ad, and now we're out looking for more luxury homes.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I ran into a guy today. He just moved from Maine, and he's coming here to invest.
Mm-hmm.
And he showed him a house, and he's looking at the more higher end stuff. But what he's doing, he's kind of like a middle party between. He's working with acquisition companies, or they acquire a bunch of properties.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he showed me the letter, and he had on the letter it showed that he, it's like a proof of funds letter for, and this company's out of Dallas, Texas, and they had, and the letter showed $5 million that they can, you know, use up to $5 million of real estate. And I said, well, that's great. And he didn't necessarily like the house I had to show him today, but he's looking for someone to work with him, and I thought maybe I might be able to do something with him on this. But what he's going to be like a general contractor. He's going to find these houses, he's going to get the offers written up, and then he's going to oversee the contractors doing the work, and then they're going to rehab these houses, and they're going to put major money into these houses, and then they're talking, you know, like $150,000 to $200,000 houses, and then they're going to try to sell them for like $300,000 to $350,000, and he's going to get this money together to buy them. And then they're going to fix them up and then rehab and sell them. So I don't know if you've ever heard of companies like that doing that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I have. Just be careful when you start to work with them. Just make sure you know what you're doing and who you're dealing with and all that good stuff. That's very important, especially for your first few deals.
Yeah. Well, what he was looking for is like he was thinking, and I was volunteering my efforts for this. It wasn't something he was asking me to do, but he just said what we're looking for, and maybe you'll apply to this, is that I'd have a transition, it'd be like a transitional funding, or what do they call that?
Transactional funding.
Yeah, where I would buy it, and then his buyer would be ready to buy it right after I buy it, and it would be a double closing.
Right.
And so he would be ready, you know, for some reason, I guess they can't just go to the auction and buy these themselves. They have to have some kind of inspection period, and there's a lot of paperwork involved there. And he said this would be better if someone else bought it and then we acquired it or took over the contract from that person.
Uh-huh.
And then I would make some money on it, be like a, I don't know what they call it, a finder fee or assumption fee,
uh-huh.
similar to what we were talking about.
Yeah.
Assignment fee. But I don't know enough about the company, but I did see his letter, and it did seem like a good letter to work with his company, with him. He's kind of
getting started
here.
Well, like I said, when you're working with somebody like that, and you just make sure you're very careful and, you know, you just dot every I and cross every T and make sure you do it upright and put everything in writing.
Yeah, I probably would get an attorney's opinion on this.
That's exactly right. That's what I would do. Good. Well, I hope that helps.
Yeah. I'll
good.
Check into it.
Cool. Anybody else want to jump in with a question? Sounds like it might be a short call tonight. You're the only one that spoke up tonight.
Yeah. Well,
and I know I just checked. We got people on the line, but nobody's talking.
Yeah. Well, some weeks are like that for me, too. I just like
You never know. You never know. Things are starting to slow down a little bit for the holidays, although we do have some closings coming up. We'll do some more closings before the end of the year, but things will usually slow down just a couple of weeks before the holidays.
I enjoy talking to your guy in the office there named Dean.
Dean West. He's a good guy.
Yeah, he and I had some things. We went back on our old Navy days.
Oh, cool.
And found out that he was on the same ship I was on back in the 70s.
Really?
Which is kind of rare to find somebody that's been in. We were on an aircraft carrier on the Enterprise, and so was he.
Wow.
And we had some stories to talk about. The same cruise we went on, it was an 8-month cruise. We were overseas.
So you were on the ship at the same time?
Yeah, at the same time. We didn't even know. Well, there were 6,000 sailors on the Enterprise, on the aircraft carrier, the first nuclear carrier that was built. And he was working in a different department. I was in a squadron. And we went to the same ports together. Of course, we didn't know we were out there together. But
right.
We went to the Philippines. We were in Hawaii, Singapore, Africa, Australia.
Wow.
Eight different ports, different places we got to visit, which is a good experience for any young man wants to see the world. But,
yeah.
And I was an aircraft electrician, but he worked, I forget what he did. But it was a good conversation. We started talking about the Navy in here. I thought he was on the same ship I was on.
That's wild. That really is.
Yeah, really nice guy.
He is a great guy. I get a lot of compliments about Dean. That's for sure.
Is your office closing up this Friday?
I don't think it's closing up this Friday. We'll be closing because we still got a couple of weeks left. So I think this week and next week, and then we'll be closed, I'm pretty sure. But I'm not positive. I don't have a calendar in front of me, and my phone just died. So I don't know.
Now, do you recommend doing sub-2s?
No, I don't like them. They're too complicated. Not complicated. They're just you still are dealing with your seller's loan, and I don't want to be involved in that, and that's where a lot of problems happen, and the reason there's laws and rules and regs about taking over property subject to. So I would just as soon stay away from them.
I mean, as far as taking over a loan, but then giving that loan to somebody, your buyer, that would probably be risky.
I mean, think about this. You take over a seller's house and leave their loan in place, and they're trusting you to make the payments on their mortgage that they're on the hook for, and then you turn around and sell that property to somebody else. What if your buyer stops paying? And now you're stuck back in the middle. Your seller's going to come to you. Your seller don't care about your buyer. Your seller only cares about what you told them.
Right. Yeah, that would be risky. I know there's a couple seminar speakers
like
out there
deals.
That talk about that, but it would be better if you took the property to yourself and just not give it to somebody else.
Yeah, I don't like those deals at all.
Yeah, the only thing good about them is that you might have a loan that's been paid down for years, and there might not be much of a balance left, and it's paying mostly principal in the latter years. That would be good. I would think that would be good, that part of it. But
yeah, if you're going to do it yourself, keep it yourself.
Yeah, I did a couple of those in the past years, and it worked out. I mean, the interest rate was low, and the people moved out of state. They were motivated. They didn't want the house anymore. So it worked out for both of us, you know.
Yeah.
It was a win-win situation.
Well, good.
But that, you know, doesn't always work. But, you know, it worked in our favor.
That's good. Well, good.
So.
Cool. Will anybody else want to jump in with the questions? Anybody else have anything? Well, it looks like it might be a short call tonight. We send out an email every second and fourth Monday to remind people about the call. Sometimes we have a whole lot of people. Sometimes we just had a few. We got a handful of people on here tonight. But I guess people are just wanting to listen in. Well, you got anything else before we go?
I think I'm all set, Larry. Thanks a lot for your input.
It's no problem at all. And everybody else listening, and you too, I appreciate your business. I appreciate you guys being on. Please don't hesitate to hit me up, Larry@LarryGoins.com. In between these calls, if you have any questions whatsoever, I'm here for you. We appreciate your business and look forward to working with you. And I'll be back on in a couple of weeks if you don't have anything in between. So with that, I hope everybody has a great night. And you too, buddy. Thanks a lot, everybody. Talk to you later.
Good night.
All right, thanks. Bye-bye.